Good evening. This is Ed. Call sign is Kilo Alpha 1 Romeo Sierra Yankee. And I am currently located in the city of New Bedford, Massachusetts. And I am opening the VOIP Sky 1 Hurricane Prep Net. I will now break for any emergency traffic. Please call Kilo Alpha 1 Romeo Sierra Yankee. Okay, let's try this again. Good evening. This is Ed. Call sign is Kilo Alpha 1 Romeo Sierra Yankee. I am located in the city of New Bedford, Massachusetts, and I am opening the VOIP Sky 1 Hurricane Prep Net. I will now break for any emergency traffic. Please call Kilo Alpha 1 Romeo Sierra Yankee. This net meets on the first Sunday of each month at 0000 hours UTC, which is Saturday evening for much of North America, during the non-hurricane season months of December through May. During the Atlantic hurricane season months from June to November, the nets meet weekly. We have multiple Echolink and IRLP stations participating internationally, linked together here on Reflector 9219 and on the Weather Talk Conference. This net is called for the purpose of preparation training in the event that a response net is needed for reporting changing storm conditions and assisting with emergency communications, right? The linking of participating repeaters and stations via the IRLP and Echolink can give the National Weather Service offices and other emergency response agencies around the country immediate access to amateur radio, Sky 1 spotters, and emergency management officials who are in and around the affected areas. This net was also created to allow Sky 1 net control operators to sharpen their skills when calling nets, to share educational information with Sky 1 spotters and agencies, assist node owners with proper configurations for linked repeater setup, and to allow licensed amateur radio operators to make comments about the VOIP Sky 1 program. This is a directed net, and all stations should direct their calls to net control. Please remember, when checking in, to key up for a full second before speaking to allow all of the repeaters on the link system to rise. During the net, Echolink stations can make use of a text chat window to make comments or relay messages to the backup net control operator. Right? During this net, we ask that repeater and link control operators make the necessary adjustments to minimize courtesy tones, hang times, or other sounds that might interfere with net operations. Stations with persistent interference will be muted or blocked from the net until the problem can be fixed. Again, my name is Ed. My call sign is Kilo Alpha 1 Romeo Sierra Yankee. I am located in the city of New Bedford, Massachusetts. I will be your net control for this session of the VOIP WeatherNet. I will now ask for a backup net control station to monitor traffic on the chat windows. Do I have a volunteer NCO station with Echolink and AIM that can act as a backup net control? Please call now.
81CY here, Ed. I can back you up since we'll be doing the presentation tonight.
Very good. Net Control recognizes station KD1CY. Rob, thank you very much. I appreciate the assistance this evening. Is there a liaison station to the National Hurricane Center in Miami, WX4NHC, or any VOIP Hurricane Net management team members on the system that would like to check in with any information, comments, or announcements for the net? Please give your call sign only.
KD1CY.
N1YLQ, mobile.
Big K, 3J,
Net Control would like to recognize the following stations. We have KD1CY, N1YLQ, and VK3JED. All right, with that, so we'll go to the top of the list with Rob, KD1CY. Your comments, sir.
Okay, Ed and all on the net, we'll say good evening. This is Rob, KD1CY, here in New Bedford, Massachusetts, Eastern Mass, Aries, SEC, and Sky 1 Coordinator, also the Director of Ops for the VOIP Hurricane Net. Tonight we'll have two topics for the net. One is on the National Hurricane Conference, which is coming up at the end of this month, and the other on the storm from late February that affected portions of our region with hurricane-force winds in gusts and heavy rainfall. We'll give folks an idea of the storm's impact and how it was a rather severe storm, particularly for northern part of Massachusetts, basically northeast Mass, New Hampshire, and parts of Maine. I'd like to comment that the presentations, the PowerPoints, are on the VOIPWX website at voipwx.net. For best results, you can just download the presentations on your computer, though these presentations are not very large in size this go around. We decided to just put links to the pictures in the presentation. One last announcement I just want to make is that Julio WD4R and John K4AG and the team at WX4NHC have been very involved with the Haiti relief effort for the University of Miami Hospital. And we'll be sending out a note where they are seeking donations to recoup some of the expenses that the club, the small club and team that they have there, have expended for the Haiti relief effort for the deployments. So you'll be seeing that on the website and over email. I figured I'd also announce it here on the net. I'll turn it back to you, Ed. And Ed, when we get to general check-ins, if we can just take the station's calls so we can get to the presentations, that'll be good. But we'll take comments from remaining net management team and coordinators. So once we get to the general check-ins, let's do call signs only and grab the stations, and then we'll get to the training topic. KA1RSY, KD1CY.
All right, Rob, thank you very much for your comments, and we'll do just that so we can get on with the presentation. And with that, we'll get along to Sparky M1YLQ. Comments on the net, sir.
Good evening, Ed. Good evening, everyone on the net. This is M1YLQ. My name is Mike. I also go by Sparky. I am the net control trainer for the net team here. Don't have too much in the way of comments. Just want to let the current net control operators that are on net know that in the next couple of months there will be specific net control operator training rolled out. Working with some of our technical team with some new technical advances that we've been making to try to get those rolled out too. And there will be some documentation showing up for everyone to review and have some live training sessions. We will be getting much more heavily into training of our net control operators this year than years past as I get settled into my roles back up here in New England. Other than that, I'm not going to be able to talk on this net, but I will be monitoring from here on out. I'm going to be away from my transmitting radio. I'll send back over to net control. This is N1YLQ.
All right, Sparky, thank you very much. And now we'll go along to Tony, VK3JEB.
Hey, g'day there, Ed. And, just a couple of things. First is I will be giving a presentation in Vegas at the VOIP conference there on the new reflector system that we are using here. Speaking of which, there will be a minor upgrade done in the next couple of weeks, but it'll be a zero downtime upgrade, so it'll happen silently. Have to roll that out to a couple of systems, minor upgrades and fixes. Secondly, a bit of a weather report from down here might be of interest. We had some very severe storms go through Melbourne yesterday. Dodged the bullet here with about an inch of rain and a lot of thunder and lightning, but here in the city and other places they had severe hail. Hailstones varied between golf ball size and about 4 inches in some of the outer eastern suburbs reported. Flash flooding in many areas and also some notable wind gusts in a couple of places. As I said, dodged it, not by more than a few miles, but quite large areas were severely hit. There is a possibility of round two today. Temperatures and dew points are up, and there is forecast for storms and severe storm warnings about the state as I speak. Anyway, back to net, K1RSY, VK3JED.
All right, Tony, thank you very much. I guess it can be interesting, whatever, no matter where we go in this big global virus. All right, thank you with that, and we'll move right along. Are there any other SkyOne coordinators or liaisons to National Weather Service offices or any state EOC or other emergency response agency liaisons that would like to check in with information, comments, or announcements? Please give your call sign only.
KB2 ZLA, Kilo Bravo 2, Zulu Lima Alpha.
WA 3 TOY.
The net would like to recognize Kilo Bravo 2, Zulu Lima Alpha, Whiskey Alpha 3, Tango Oscar Yankee. With that, we'll go to KB2 ZLA. Comments for the net, sir.
Yes, thank you very much, Ed. This is KB2 ZLA, Assistant Sky 1 Coordinator, Middlesex County, New Jersey, USA. My name is Marshall. I'm located in Oldbridge Township within the forecast area of the National Weather Service, Philadelphia, Mount Holly. Thankfully, there's only a little more than 2 weeks to go until spring, but here in New Jersey, even still then, we don't know what to expect. Skywarn was activated February 5th through 6th for a major winter storm, which resulted in a blizzard warning, bringing 2 feet of snow to areas in southern New Jersey. On the 9th and 10th, we activated again with up to 17 inches reported in central New Jersey. On the 25th, we saw yet another combination of coastal storms, which was one of the most intense low-pressure systems to pass almost directly over this coordinator's location seen in recent years, bringing once again a foot of snow and ice. My back is still killing me. This coming week, we can at last look forward to near-seasonable weather with highs around 50 and lows a few degrees above freezing, allowing for a nicely paced melting of what we all hope will be the last of winter. For Middlesex County Skywarn, KB2 ZLA.
All right, Marshall, thank you very much. Yes, it's been an interesting winter, and ditto on the back problems there. With that, we'll move along to Kirk, WA3TOY.
Good evening to all, and happy March. I'm glad to see the temperatures now finally up above 35 degrees. Quite nice here today, in fact. We attended a communications class, emergency communications class this morning, and had a good time with that. And I'm going to be preparing a report on all the snow activities, Skywarn activities over the last couple of months, and getting it submitted to the two Ham Radio Club newsletters here in the county in the near future. Just again, also thanks to all who assisted with the snowstorms, both here in our county and elsewhere. I know the National Weather Service greatly appreciates all the help and work we do. WA3TOY.
Okay, Kurt. Thank you very much. We appreciate your comments. And with that, we'll now pause 10 seconds to allow any net control operators on the network to enter any control or command function at this time, and then we will proceed with the check-in portion of the net. And this is station KA1RSY. My name is Ed for the VOIP Sky 1 Hurricane PrepNet. All stations are requested to check in with their call sign only. Once checked in, you will be asked for your name, location, and any comments or traffic you may have for the net. If you have any questions concerning the VOIP net, technical VOIP questions, weather-related or other questions, net control will get them answered on the net if possible, and if not, they will be answered via the VOIP email list or by the next weekly net. As I mentioned previously, this evening we will just accept check-ins. There will be no comments due to the presentations that Rob KD1CY will be presenting this evening. So with that, I will now accept check-ins from any non-continental United States stations from the Pacific, Hawaii, and other U.S. territories and any international stations. Please give your call sign only.
November Papa 3 Oscar Delta. I repeat, November Papa 3 Oscar Delta.
November Papa 3 Hotel Mike.
We have November Papa 3 Oscar Delta. November Papa 3 Hotel Mike. Are there any other non-continental U.S. stations, international stations, who wish to check in at the present time? This is KA1RSY. The net this evening will currently move on to the U.S. stations. We will be broken up into regions. Net control can do the groupings in any manner. We will go with, reading the crib notes here. Any stations with 1, 2, or 3 in their call signs. We're looking for any U.S. stations with 1, 2, or 3 in their call sign. Please call net control and give us your call sign only.
Whiskey Alpha 2, Alpha Quebec, Quebec.
Kilo Bravo 2, Foxtrot Echo Delta.
Whiskey 1, Echo Zulu Yankee.
2, Queen.
November 2, Hotel Lima Bravo.
Whiskey 1, Mike, Papa November, over.
Whiskey 3, Zulu Romeo.
Kilo Bravo 1, Queen Victor Lima.
Net Control acknowledges the following stations. We have Whiskey Alpha 2, Alpha Quebec, Quebec. Whiskey Bravo 2, Foxtrot Echo Delta. Whiskey 1, Echo Zulu Yankee. Whiskey Sierra 2, Quebec. November 2, Hotel Lima Bravo. Whiskey 1, Mike Papa November. Whiskey 3, Zulu Romeo. Kilo Bravo 1, Quebec Victor Lima. Are there any other stations with 1, 2, or 3 in their call signs, stations that I've missed, or corrections on the call signs I've mentioned? This is KA1RSY.
November 3, Victor Michael Foxtrot.
We have November 3, Victor Mike Foxtrot. Gentlemen, thank you all for checking in this evening, and if I've missed any stations, we'll get you when we do our general call-up. Now we are currently looking for any U.S. stations with 4, 5, or 6 in their call signs. Any U.S. stations with 4, 5, or 6 in their call, please give your call sign only.
November 5, Oscar Zulu Golf.
Kilo India 6, Whiskey Delta Yankee.
Okay, missed a call on the first station there, but we also recognize Kilo India 6, Whiskey Delta Yankee. The first station checking in, please try with your call sign again.
November 5, Oscar Zulu Golf. November 5, Oscar Zulu Golf.
Sorry, we recognize November 5, Oscar Zulu Golf. We're currently looking for more stations with 4, 5, or 6 in their call sign. Please call now. All right, nothing heard. We also like to acknowledge here a chat box check-in here. 9, Yankee 4, Mike Yankee Alpha out of Trinidad. Thank you very much for checking in. All right, now we'll move along with stations with 7, 8, 9, or 0 in their call sign. U.S. stations with 7, 8, 9, or 0 in their call.
WB7PTR in New Orleans.
November 8, Hotel Echo Echo.
Whiskey, Kilo 8, Hotel.
Whiskey Niner Lima Uniform Oscar.
We'd like to welcome the following stations, WB7PPR, November 8, Hotel Echo Echo, Whiskey Kilo 8 Hotel, Whiskey 9, a Lima Uniform Oscar. We also have in the checkbox, Kilo Juliet 6, Bravo Delta Romeo. Thanks for all stations for checking in, and we'll give another call again for stations with 7, 8, 9, or 0 in their call. Nothing heard. Also in the checkbox, we have Kilo Alpha 2, Juliet Alpha India, with no traffic. Thank you very much for checking in. I will now go to the backup net control station for any EchoLink text box check-ins that I haven't mentioned, and I'm joined during the call-up or stations via voice. KD1CY, this is K1RSY.
Okay, Ed, and all on the net. You've got most of these, but I'll just run through them real quick. KA2JAI, KJ6BDR, KJ6BDQ, NY4MYA, and 9Zulu4FoxZulu, Julian in Trinidad, also part of IRES. Good to have him on tonight. Those are all the text box check-ins, some of which you've mentioned. Back to net, KD1CY.
All right, Rob, thank you very much. And now we'll now proceed with the information and training portion of the net. I now turn the net over to KD1CY. This is K1RSY, net control.
Okay, Ed, and all on the net. We'll say good evening. We're hoping these two topics tonight will be interesting for all folks on the net and listening. There are PowerPoint presentations available on the website, boipwx.net. which you can also just listen if you'd like as well. The presentations, though, are on VOIPWX.net. It's the top topic on the website. And you, for best results, you can download them onto your computer, though they are not very large in size, so hopefully there won't be any bandwidth issues there, given their small size. We're going to start with the first presentation on the overview of National Hurricane Conference Presentations 2010. So it should be named as that, and with the .ppt at the end. So we'll pause there, we'll drop the system, and we'll start through presentation number one, which is, again, is the National Hurricane Conference Overview of Amateur Radio Presentations. This is KD1CY. So everyone sees slide number one as the title slide. We'll move right into slide number two. So this will be our third year participating in the National Hurricane Conference. This year it is being held in Orlando, Florida at the Orlando Hilton. And it was actually held in Orlando in 2008 at a different facility. So it'll be interesting to see how the new facility stacks up. My understanding is the Orlando Hilton is a new building that has been put in, and that's where the conference was moved to. Last year, the conference was held in Austin, Texas. We will have another significant presence at the conference for this coming year. We will have a representation similar to last year for our group on the VOIP Hurricane Net. I will be there, as well as Jim, KB1KQW. Jim, once again, will be doing the videography work for us to get the presentations uploaded onto the web. And we'll talk about the other conferences from the past couple of years and links for those that would like to see what's been presented in past years. We will also be meeting with Julio, WD4R, John, K4AG, and hopefully a bunch of members of the WX4NHC group. We will be making a trip to Miami. We're actually going to fly out on the 27th of March and drive down to Miami from Orlando and visit with the folks there at the Hurricane Center, the ham operator folks, on March 28th. We are also looking to do what we did last year with a local amateur radio club in the Orlando area, like we did in Austin, Texas. Try to gather with a group there and give some of the same presentations that we will be giving at the conference. Those specifics, though, have not been ironed out as of yet, but we're hopeful that we will be able to do that once again. I will break and move on to slide number three. Slide number three talks about what we want to accomplish when we visit the Hurricane Center. Jim and I have both been there before, but it'll be good to get down there again. The amateur radio team there, we're hoping to meet with, as we've mentioned. We also plan to review some of the past hurricane seasons, identify additional ways where we can support them. We'd like to familiarize ourselves with some of the other team members, some of which have gotten on our net before, and also try to help them with EchoLink. They may have some questions and how our reports can be captured both via email and other means, also discuss some of the network issues that they have at times with EchoLink. That we have had put in place some technology for them to get around that when required, and making sure that's visible to the folks there. So should be a good visit on that Sunday, March 28th. Break for more, and we'll move on to slide number four after the break. Okay, with slide number four, we will talk about the amateur radio workshop. That will actually be on the Tuesday, March 30th. It will go in through operations of the Hurricane Center, the Hurricane Watch Net, the VOIP Hurricane Net, and possibly an overview of VIRESC operations. That's to be determined, but we did it last year, and we're hoping to do that again this year. So we're hoping to cover all of that in the 3.5-hour time frame. While the conference has a registration fee, there is no fee for the amateur radio workshop. That's been a confusing point at times, but the workshop is free and open to folks on that Tuesday afternoon time slot, And again, our target there is the amateur radio community, trying to get folks involved in the various nets and understanding the operations, getting folks to report in the type of information that the Hurricane Center, Emergency Management, and other agencies are working for, kind of that situational awareness, disaster intelligence information that is so very helpful in significant storm-related incidents. We'll break for more and move on to slide number 5. Slide number 5 is where we'll actually be trying to target the emergency management and non-governmental organizations that will be at the conference with a presentation on Wednesday, March 31st from 8:30 to 10 a.m. going to be entitled Amateur Radio, the Emergency Manager's Hidden Resource. The target audience is more the emergency management community, though ham operators may find this of interest as well. And we're going to talk about to folks about being more involved in those in the type of things that we mentioned concerning situational awareness and disaster intelligence, gathering data on infrastructure, giving people a lay of the land in terms of what's happening on the ground in areas when a hurricane is coming ashore, or in other situations where having information on what's happening in the disaster zone can be critical. That is also helpful in being more prepared when all else fails. And again, as we've mentioned in the past, when all else fails doesn't happen as often as it once did, though it does happen. And we'll actually talk a little bit about that in the next presentation. But, again, having the roles and doing both of these things is very important and kind of increases the value of using ham radio operators. This specific talk gets into the time frame where the conference registration fees will apply, but again, the Tuesday session on amateur radio will be free. And all workshop sessions given at the conference will be videotaped and put online, as mentioned before, through the efforts of Jim, KB1KQW. And we'll break and move on to slide number 6. Slide number 6 gives you an idea of the presenters for the conference, and we may have one additional presenter, our Assistant Director of VOIP Hurricane Net Operations, Dennis, K2DCD, could be there, and there may be, he's taking on some additional volunteer work. I'm not sure if it's totally public yet, so I want to hold off on giving that piece of information out yet, but he may be presenting in that capacity. And then we will move right into slide number 7, as there are a number of links on this slide that will take you to the past ham radio workshops that we've done for the National Hurricane Conference, the past presentation review we did for the 2008 conference and visit to WX4NHC, and also a season in review video that we did on the 2008 Atlantic hurricane season that was part of the ham radio workshops and will probably be viewed again this year. 2009 was an extremely quiet year, so not much to add to what has occurred from the past year, so we will likely reuse that video in Orlando for this year's conference, and they have not, folks in Florida have not seen that video. The last time we were there was in 2008, prior to the Atlantic hurricane season. So that'll make that video worthwhile. And with that, that concludes the first PowerPoint, just going over the overview of the National Hurricane Conference, our role, what we plan to do in visiting the National Hurricane Center, and we're hoping for a successful time, and we're also hoping to meet with some of the local clubs in the area one night during that conference week. Jim and I will both be at the conference for the entire week, learning more about the through the various presentations at the conference, and we're looking forward to getting some time away and also doing and learning some more about hurricanes and the disaster relief and meteorology aspects of those systems. So we will now break, and we will get into the second PowerPoint, and we'll just take a break here, and we'll get folks to the next file. This is KD1CY on the air for the VOIP Hurricane PrepNet doing training topics. We just completed the overview of the National Hurricane Conference presentations for 2010. We're now moving on to the second file, and that second file for folks that are just joining or moving on or trying to switch between the presentations is the February 25th, 26th Major Nor'easter Aries Skywarn Activation .ppt. Again, that can be downloaded off the voipwx.net website. It's the first story on the website. You can go and grab the file that is named, again, February 25th, 26th Major Nor'easter Aries Skywarn Activation. Click the file, and that should come up for you. So with that, we'll break, and we'll get into this second presentation. Okay, so with that, you see the title slide on February 25th, 26th, Major Nor'easter Aries Skywarn Activation. Moving on to slide number two, the week of February 22nd through the 26th was a very active weather week for the Northeast. There was a Nor'easter on February 23rd, 24th. That it'll probably be a forgotten storm, at least to some folks, but that storm was very significant in that it dumped a good 1 to 2 feet of snow across portions of western and northern Massachusetts and southern New Hampshire. Some other places have received about 5 to 10 inches of snow down into the Worcester, Mass area and parts of interior northeastern Massachusetts, while other areas received a few slushy inches of snow, and then it switched over to 1 to 3 inches of rain. Here in my location in New Bedford, Mass., we had over 2 inches of rain from that storm system. But that would later be forgotten as we got into the next coastal storm, Nor'easter, that tracked further inland and kind of pinwheeled off the previous coastal storm and actually fed off of some of that that storm's energy and at a very high level and not terribly scientific terms. That storm would produce the very strong winds and wind damage, heavy rain and flooding in some of the areas that received the wet snowfall got some of the heavy rainfall. In some cases, the snowpack absorbed the rainfall. In other areas, there was river and stream flooding. Accumulating snow would occur on the backside of the storm in some areas of the interior, but clearly this was the rain and the strong winds were the main threats with the storm. And amateur radio Skywarn spotters across the NWS Taunton and Gray Main county warning areas especially were on alert for this major nor'easter. And we'll break and move on to slide number three. Slide number three talks about preparations for the storm and coop planning. So it was an interesting one for us here in Eastern Mass because while I was there for most of the first nor'easter on February 23rd and 24th, I was on my way to Logan Airport to get out to California on business. So with the second nor'easter coming, I was going to be in California. Our other assistant SEC, who happens to be Jim, KB1KQW, folks on this net are familiar with, was going to be in Southeast Connecticut for kind of a mini, well-deserved mini vacation. Both of us were reachable by conventional means remotely to support what we could remotely. Jim would be back in his home area, which was hardest hit by the storm, on Friday. I was not returning until early Sunday morning. So this meant that there needed to be what we call a strong coop or continuity of operation if we were going to be successful. So members of our Aries staff, our other district emergency coordinators, assistant DECs, IMECs, were going to have to pick up the load here. And this included staffing for multiple ham operators for the NWS Taunton office for a long duration nor'easter and support for Eastern Mass Aries standby and deployment for activation if required. One of our ASECs, Carl N1FY, is also serves as our assistant Skywarn coordinator, and he did a tremendous job helping with this activity and coordinating the staff for as long as he was able, and then he needed rest, and the rest of the staff pitched in at that point in time. So it was challenging, but it was done, and it was done well, as we will discuss here, particularly in light of the ferocity of this storm. We'll break with more to follow. Flight number 4 talks about the aspects of this nor'easter, which hit us basically with the power of a hurricane. The nor'easter hit New England. The barometric pressures that we had in the area were well below 29 inches. 28.74 was measured on Nantucket Island. Looking at some of the other weather stations, many in the 28.7 to 28.8 inches of mercury area, which is, that's down around, I believe, in rough terms, 970 to 980 millibars. And that is a very low barometric pressure that was occurring with this storm. And it was, the winds were really, there was a, kind of an area of winds of sustained 20 to 30, gusts 40 to 50 for several hours, but it was basically a 1 to 2 hour and maybe up to 3 hour period in some areas of very strong sustained and winds gusts to strong tropical storm or hurricane force that really did the damage here. And when that happened, there were, widespread trees and wires down with massive power outages, especially in the northeast Mass, central and southern New Hampshire, and into central and southern Maine. Rivers and urban and poor drainage areas went into minor to moderate flooding. Some streets were closed, some rivers were out of their banks and into people's yards, not so much into people's homes except for some significant issues with flooded basements. Amateur radio Skywarn spotters also reported roofs blown off structures, roofs that lost many shingles, which tells you that the winds were much stronger than our normal nor'easter that downs a bunch of trees. We had cars and houses hit by fallen trees, including moving vehicles, in two or three cases. In one case, a ham operator was right on site when it happened, nearly trapping several older women in their car, but they were pulled out unhurt, and public safety folks arrived on scene based on the ham operators and folks that called in. Break with more to follow. Continuing on slide number 4, another thing that was found out in the aftermath of the storm is several Boy Scout camps sustained heavy damage to their camping structures. One in Camp Carpenter, which I've actually been to in Manchester, New Hampshire, to do, of all things, a Skywarn booth to tell people how we interact in the Skywarn program using ham radio, and the Lone Tree Scout Reservation in Kingston, New Hampshire. So two areas that were, two Boy Scout camps that were significantly impacted by this storm. Quite frankly, in eastern Massachusetts, we were somewhat lucky in that the strongest winds were across northern Middlesex and Essex counties of Massachusetts, just north of Boston, and into the Boston area somewhat as well. But to the south, in southeast Mass in the Cape, there were some strong winds, some gusts in the 50 to 60 mile per hour range, some scattered damage. But it could have been worse if the storm track had been about 50 to 100 miles further south. That swath of damaging wind may have gone through much more, a larger portion of our section of eastern Mass, and into maybe parts of central Mass and Rhode Island. And it would have made things that much more difficult. But nonetheless, in the North Shore areas, northern Middlesex County, up in through into the New Hampshire area and Maine, that was the focus of the main damage. We'll break and move on to slide number 5. This is KD1CY, continuing with the VOIP Hurricane Prep Net, going through a training topic on the major nor'easter that affected the region on February 25th, 26th of 2010. There was a definite major impact on utilities in New England. About 90,000 people were without power in northeast Massachusetts, 269,000 without power in New Hampshire. And in New Hampshire, that was the second largest number of power outages in that New Hampshire utility's history. For those that want to know, that history goes back 84 years. It was second only to the December 2008 ice storm. What was interesting, there was a special report issued by Public Service of New Hampshire, which is very interesting. They mentioned that the amount of major hits to the New Hampshire infrastructure, if you looked at the numbers, it was about two-thirds less than the ice storm. but that the outages from the nor'easter hit a more highly populated area. The storm damage was equivalent to what occurred with a nor'easter in 2007, right around, it was mid-April, around Patriots Day, which was around the April 17th time frame of 2007, with the same day as the Boston Marathon. The storm did similar damage in that area in 2007, but it was in areas that were less populated, so the number of outages was much less. Also, power was restored in most of those areas over 3 to 4, maybe 5 days, versus a good 7 to 10 days over the course of the ice storm. If you count Maine, New Hampshire, and Northeast Mass from another utility's information, there were over 500,000 without power at the height of the storm. We'll break and move on to slide number 6. Slide number 6 gives you some of the measured wind gusts that were recorded across a chunk of southern New England, strongest of which that was recorded was Salem, Massachusetts, 88 miles an hour. Marblehead, Mass. Had an 80 mile per hour gust, and what was interesting in looking at that station was they had several other wind gusts, 70, 72, and 73 miles per hour, all within a one-hour time frame. And that gave us, it really gave a clear indication of what was going on and an idea of the damage being so significant. Rockport, Mass., 70 miles per hour. Nantucket, Mass., right along a beach location, had a gust to 69 miles per hour and also a gust to 60 miles per hour. Brookline, Mass., that are associated with the Clay Center Club with a private school. They have a weather station with a 61-mile-per-hour gust, and you can see a number of other gusts, 50 miles per hour or more, and you can see that the gusts towards the southeast Massachusetts were somewhat less than what you had up in the North Shore. There were some other gusts in New Hampshire nearing 100 miles per hour from what we could find. There were high sustained winds in a lot of these stations, somewhere in the range of 30 to 60 miles per hour. A station in Marblehead had a sustained wind at one point of about 60 miles per hour. And those kinds of winds are going to cause the damage that we had and the power outages that occurred in the region. Break for more. Moving on to slide number 7, this gives you an idea of the rainfall totals meeting the Skywarn reporting criteria here of 2 inches or more. Many of those, there were a lot of 1 to 2 inch amounts. We could have probably filled 2 or 3 slides with those. This is relegated to amounts 2 inches or more across portions of northwest Connecticut, western and central and northeast Massachusetts, into parts of New Hampshire, a couple of locations in Rhode Island, all receiving these point amounts ranging between about 2 inches and a couple of spots just over 3 inches, including Barrie, Massachusetts, at 3.22 inches of rainfall. Break for more. Slide number 8 talks about the ARIES response in some areas. New Hampshire ARIES raised their activation status to a level 3 at about 11:45 p.m. Thursday, February 25th, through emails that I kind of reviewed and kind of transposed here. There were several towns that lost their police and fire dispatch 911 service temporarily. This included some towns like Hampton, Amherst, and Bedford. There may have been others, but these were the ones that we saw via the emails. ARIES was activated overnight from approximately midnight to 6 a.m. They secured operations around 5:30, 6 a.m. from the state EOC, though there were some local operations that were said to be ongoing during some of the daylight hours on that Friday, February 26th. So definitely New Hampshire ARIES were performing functions to be there when communications failed, and this was very important. There were also reports from hams in New Hampshire of the wind damage and flooding that occurred, supporting their National Weather Service forecast offices. They're covered by two different offices in New Hampshire, the National Weather Service in Gray, Maine, and the Taunton, Mass. office, which we belong to here and cover. So we'll break and move on to slide number 9. Slide number 9 talks about what occurred in the Eastern Mass. Area And there's more details here because we had met basically being the SEC for Eastern Mass, we have, and working with the staff, we had some more of these details. Clearly the significance, some of the more stringent activity that had to occur was in New Hampshire, though we had our things to do for Northeast Mass, particularly the Northern Middlesex and Essex County area. We placed Aries on standby at midnight Friday, February 26th, and some of that was based on New Hampshire's activation and some of the phone outages that had occurred in southern New Hampshire. We were concerned that there would be similar issues in Northeast Mass. There were a couple of towns that had those issues. There were some issues that we were aware of where some major switching phone stations were on emergency power that could run out of fuel. It made sense to kind of get folks prepared for possible deployment. And clearly, the situational awareness and disaster intelligence information from the Skywarn nets that were in Northeast Mass told us of the severity of the situation, particularly the reports of some of the structural damage up in communities such as Newburyport, Gloucester, and other communities. Availability of resources were checked through the ARRI staff using our online database that is for our section. We have about 450 ARRI's members. We had over 100 responses, 84 of which were available for deployment, and another 20 to 30 who kind of responded that they were out of the area but wanted to give us notification. And the exercise of this database allowed us to keep updated contact information for ACE personnel. We've noted some bounces of emails and so forth that we're working to correct. We'll break with more to follow. Activation of our North Shore Aries group occurred Friday evening when they received a call from the Greater Northeast Red Cross Chapter of damage assessment for damage assessment support and shelter operations. That activation was brief. It was about a six-hour period on Saturday afternoon when they were activated. It was kind of a good outreach versus a deployment where we made a huge difference, quite frankly, but the outreach was very important. I think the chapter realized that they called us a bit too late, and also that we had a lot of damage information that would have been useful for their assessment, while they gathered the information, it was about a day later than probably they would have wanted, and they would have wanted to get it sooner. And so I think it was a very good connection with the chapter from that perspective, and we have a contact there, Dave, K1DBB, who did an excellent job of facilitating that, and I think the people there were kind of appreciative of the effort to be there and also to work with the folks there and kind of establish a connection. One of the issues we have in New England, unlike some other parts of the country, is we don't get these types of situations that often, although it's been more often in the past 10 years than prior years. But we're not getting them that often. And so relationships and connections over time, when they're not used, even with the efforts of trying to be proactive, may not occur. So this was good from that perspective. In Northeast Mass, much of the power was restored by Monday, March 1st, with the majority restored by Sunday evening, February 28th, and that is when we released the ARRI standby status at 6 p.m. on that Sunday evening. We'll break and move over to slide number 10. Slide number 10 kind of summarizes what occurred. The activation for the nor'easter was very successful, and it produced the wind damage that was equivalent of a strong tropical storm or minimal Category 1 hurricane in that Northeast Mass, New Hampshire, and South Central Maine corridor. New Hampshire Aries reacted quickly to be there when all else fails for the phone services that were disrupted in several communities, including emergency services. Here in Eastern Mass, our Aries program was focused on the Skywarn program, gathering the data that goes not just to the National Weather Service, but also to state emergency management officials, who monitored the situation and activated the state EOC on that Friday, February 26th, for much of the day to help with the restoration efforts, monitor the storm situation, and help the local communities. Our continuity of operations plan worked very well. As always, there are lessons to be learned, and we had that over a staff meeting earlier this week, and definitely some things have been identified that we're going to go off and execute on to be able to function as a staff when other folks like myself or other folks within the staff are unavailable. A response from the Ares community for our standby alert and support deployments were very strong. We thought, again, that the activation for the Northeast Mass Red Cross chapter was very good, a good form of outreach and connection with an agency, which was good, not a huge deployment in terms of making an impact in the actual act of doing things with the agency at that point, but it was a good outreach and good preparation and kind of a good exercise for folks. We'll break and wrap up with the last two slides. Slides number 11 and 12, I'm not going to go through them all. They're basically links to the official local storm reports and public information statements that are available on the website, links that are listed there. Also on some pictures and video from some of the incidents from various amateur radio operators. So you can see some of the damage and issues that took place across our region. So that concludes the presentation, and I hope folks found it entertaining and helpful. I see one question in the text box. The presentations are on voipwx.net. I've noticed as going through the presentations a couple of typos and so forth, so you may see them get re-uploaded and cleaned up slightly, but they are there. And we'll now open up the net for questions. And this is KD1CY for the VOIP Hurricane Net, completing two training topics, one on the National Hurricane Conference, the other on the Major Nor'easter Skywarn Activation. We'll now take any questions from any amateurs that are on the net this evening.
November 3, Victor Mike Fox with a question.
And 3 VMF. KD1CY, go ahead with your questions.
Very good, KD1CY, very good. Yes, I enjoyed listening to your report of the Northeast there. I'm located in Baltimore, Maryland, and some of the local forecasters had said that the pressure had got down to a Cat 2, as low as a Cat 2. When it was off the New Jersey coast. Is that true?
That is correct. The barometric pressures, when you get pressures down into the 28.70 to 28.80 range, you're definitely on the strong Cat 1, minimal Cat 2. I think that's actually maybe even in the middle of the Cat 2 hurricane range. So from a barometric pressure perspective, that is true. I think from a storm damage perspective, we had the damage equivalent of an intense tropical storm or Category 1 hurricane, if you wanted to draw that kind of analogy. So that's kind of what occurred here. And again, that damage was confined to Northeast Mass into New Hampshire and parts of Maine. Down in my area here, there was some spotty tree and wire damage. The house here did briefly lose power, but not for any length of time. So, but further north, certainly from the Boston area through the North Shore, in particular in northern Middlesex County, Massachusetts, bordering New Hampshire, and then into New Hampshire and Maine was your main strike zone of those winds. And as I said, the winds were kind of 20 to 30, gusts 40 to 50 for probably about 6 to 10 hours, and then the real hurricane force winds were about a 1 to 3 hour period. So if that had been a longer period of time and so forth, it could have been that much more damage. So in a sense, we were lucked out a little bit by the duration and also the track. The storm track had been a little bit further to the south and east. Some of that wind activity would have been right over our area and would have probably spared parts of New Hampshire and Maine. So I hope that answers your questions, and we'll see what other questions there may be on the net for this evening. This is KD1CY. We'll solicit any other questions before we turn it back to Net Control.
WB7PTR.
WB7PTR, go ahead.
Not really a question, more of a comment. Very well done presentations, and also that sounds like a pretty impressive storm. I was watching that when it happened and really noticed the winds and the pressures were getting there. Anyway, back to, I didn't catch your name there, but back to the presenter anyway.
Okay, thanks, Lynn. And the name is Rob here. Romeo Oscar Bravo. Name is Rob. Okay, very good. We'll see if there are any other questions here before we turn it back to the net control, and he'll take one more quick round of check-ins if anyone else is listening, and then we'll button up tonight's net. So I'll turn it back to, make one more call for questions before turning it back to Ed. Any further questions on the presentations this evening? This is KD1CY.
November 5, Oscar Zulu Golf. M5, Ujijin.
Okay, we got Joe, N5OZG. Go ahead, Joe, with your question.
Hey, good evening to you, Rob. Question is, I guess, related to hurricane and the net and everything. From the way I understand it, the National Hurricane Center is going to put up warnings 12 hours earlier, so that means they're going to put up warnings up at about 36 hours before landfall. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. The watch warning lead times have been changed. So a tropical storm or hurricane watch will now be issued 48 hours in advance of the anticipated onset of tropical storm force winds. Tropical storm or hurricane warning will be issued within at the latest time frame 36 hours. So within 36 hours. So tropical storm and hurricane watches could be issued up to 48 hours in advance. Tropical storm or hurricane warnings could be issued up to 36 hours in advance. And there have been a number of changes to that and some of the advisory formats and so forth. Joe, that's probably going to be a good presentation for the net as we get closer to the start of the 2010 season. So maybe in May or June we'll definitely do a review of that. So I hope that helps, Joe, and I hope things are going well down there in the New Orleans area. So I'll take a pause for any other questions on the presentations, the net, or anything else before we turn it back to the net control. This is KD1CY.
WA2AQQ with a comment, Rob.
I'm not done with that, so N5WGG with a second question.
Okay, Joe, why don't we take your second question and then we'll get Bob's comment.
Okay, Rob, well, my second question is, with that said, what's the protocols for your activation the hurricane net? Is that going to change also to work with the warnings? Or I think if I'm correct, your hurricane activation net don't start till 24 hours, I believe, before landfall. So is that going to change when you get all of this ironed out at the conference, or is that going to probably remain the same?
Okay, Joe, I'll answer it this way. What we do when we activate, we kind of base it on two things. And maybe this is something to communicate better here on our end. What we'll do is we will activate within the first couple of hours of the tropical storm force winds actually reaching the land area. So that can vary depending on the size of the hurricane and the size of the wind fields. We don't normally activate the net for a long period of time prior to the winds actually coming ashore. It just takes a lot of resource and it's a lot of waiting for the storm to hit. So we let the local folks like yourself, put together you know, your plans and so forth. And what we'll do, you know, one thing is, you know, we did, Joe, during Gustav is, you know, about 24 hours before the storm or 12 to 24 hours, we did do a call-up net to gather reporting stations from the affected area. That's still something that we'll utilize depending on the time frame of the the hurricane and when it's going to hit. And then the second thing we'll do, as I said, is we'll look at the when the wind field will start to reach land and time our activation within a couple of hours of that wind field, the tropical storm force wind field, so the weaker wind field in front of the storm, you know, time the net activation at that point. And then the other thing that we factor in is when the hurricane center is going to be active, though quite often we don't always follow that exact time frame. We'll try and be a little bit prior to them in particular because you could lose some of the internet links. So that's kind of what we do, and maybe we got to communicate that a little clearer. So kind of on the onset of the tropical storm force winds is when we formally activate, and we may do a call-up net 12 to 24 hours prior to the actual storm hitting if our resources allow it, and it makes sense based on the time frames of when the hurricane's going to hit. So I'll turn it back to you, Joe, see if you have any other questions, and then we'll take Bob's comments. This is KD1CY.
Okay, that's about it, Rob. I was just curious. So basically, nothing's basically not going to change on your end, even though they put up a warning. And that's good. I didn't know how that actually worked. So it's basically approximately 2 or 3 hours before tropical winds hit landfall. All right, that's it. Thanks a lot. N5UGG, New Orleans, mobile clear.
Sounds great, Joe, and thanks again for all your support of our net, and we enjoy having you guys on the system, and we appreciated what help we could provide and what help you provided to us during Gustav in 2008, so thanks a lot for that. Bob, WA2AQQ, why don't you go ahead with your comment?
Yeah, Rob, I just want to mention that that storm was rotating off of Cape Cod. That's why you got hit so bad. Here on Long Island, we were not hit bad, but western New Jersey and upstate New York, north of New York City, really got bad and had tremendous outages also during that event. Back to you, Rob, KD1CY, WA2AQQ.
Okay, Bob, very good. And, yep, that is very true. Where the storm's position was had a significant impact. That's why the New York City area and New Jersey had the heavy snowfall, whereas we had the heavy rain and a strong storm force to hurricane force winds. So good comment there. One last call for any comments or questions before I turn it back to Net Control, take final check-ins, and shut down the net for this month. This is KD1CY. Okay, nothing heard. So we'll turn it back over to Ed, KA1RSY. He'll do a final call for check-ins. We'll just take call signs only, and then he'll proceed to secure the net. And thanks, everyone, for their attention, and hope folks enjoyed tonight's net. KA1RSY, this is KD1CY to take further check-ins, last round of check-ins, and secure the net.
And this is station KA1RSY Net Control for the VOIP Sky 1 Hurricane Prep Net. At this time, I'd like to thank Rob for his excellent presentation, and we'll currently look for any late check-ins, including any late echoing text box check-ins from any U.S. regions, non-continental U.S. stations from the Pacific, Hawaii, and other U.S. territories, and any late international check-ins. Please give your call sign now. This is KA1RSY Net Control. Okay, well, no further stations here at this time. We'd like to thank you, all stations who checked into the net this evening, with their comments and questions. I would like to remind everyone that this net meets monthly on the first Sunday of each month between December through May at 0000 UTC and meets weekly during the Atlantic hurricane season months of June, through November to coordinate National Skywarn and hurricane preparation traffic via the IRLP and Echolink. In the event of needed emergency weather response, internet linked repeaters and stations can be a tool to assist local and national agencies with current spot reports as coordinated here on Reflector 90219 and the WeatherTalk Conference. In the event that the WeatherTalk Echolink Conference or IRLP 90219 reflector becomes disabled, the backup setup will be utilized as IRLP reflector 9508, which is cross-linked with the VKEMCOMM, that's Victor Kilo Echo Mike, Charlie Oscar Mike Mike Echolink Conference Server, node number figures 270177. I'd like to thank everyone who has participated in the net, as well as each of the owners of the local IRLP and Echolink repeater networks for the use of the system. Special thanks to Kevin, KD5WX, for the use of the WeatherTalk Conference, and to Danny, KD4RAA, Tony, VK3JED, and the Raleigh Reflector IRLP group for the merge of the two systems for this combined net break. For more information on the VOIPNet, please check the website at www.voipwx.net. The website features net activation status, an email list, and other information concerning the VOIPNet. If you would like to participate as a net control operator, we welcome your involvement. Our net control schedule manager for the weekly net and net activation is Jim, KB1KQW, and he can be contacted via the site. Remember, Skywarn needs you, the spotter, in order for the system to work. Thank you for your willingness to serve. My name here is Ed. Call sign is KA1RSY, Kilo Alpha 1 Romeo Sierra Yankee, and I will now conclude the VOIP Skywarn Information and Hurricane Preparation Net from the City of New Bedford, Massachusetts. I'd like to wish everyone fair wind and following seas, and greetings and good evening from the historical whaling city of New Bedford, Mass. We now turn the 90219 Raleigh Reflector and WeatherTalk Conference back to normal operation. This is KA1RSY, saying 7-3 and signing clear. This is KA1RSY.